Welcome to Ben Navarez Podcast with your host, Ben Navarez.
Howdy, hi, and welcome back to the podcast. We have a new setup of equipment here. We're using the Focusrite Scarlett thing, 18i8. So it's kind of a fun, I don't know, if you know about podcasting, you're going to get into the world of trying to, you know, get new equipment. This is what we're doing today. So thank you all for being patient with that. And we also have Miss Sabrina Oso today out of the New Jersey area. I'm also going to be burping probably. I just finished eating a little bit. So again, thank you all. But hello, Sabrina. Hi, how are you doing?
And how are you?
You know, I'm pretty good. Overall, a pretty busy day, but a very gratifying day. I think just started off with on a good note of taking care of myself and having myself a little bit of like a ginger lion's mane coconut milk protein smoothie, and then went and had a couple clients, and so finished over there, and now I get to chat with somebody and learn about, you know, who they are and what they're doing. And so I would say so far a pretty good day.
Great, good to hear that.
So tell me a little bit more about where are you, Sabrina, and what is it that you are currently up to in life?
Yes, I am on the East Coast of the States, and close proximity to New York, New Jersey area. Oso Safe is a business that I have been working on for a number of years now. And it was born out of a one-woman show, actually, that I wrote, choreographed, and performed a number of years ago. And this one-woman show was called Home Sweet Home? And I play different women being abused. She goes to her good place. That's where the dancing comes in. But then she's pulled back into the terror of violence. The show ended really strong, really empowering. But I did a lot of research for the show, and I couldn't believe the statistics that I was finding. So I said to myself, wow, I need to make this into a business, a bona fide business with products and services that could really help people. I want to say that we're not a charity. We're not a nonprofit, I'm proud to say. We respect all of the charities and nonprofits that deal with domestic violence. We don't even like to call it domestic violence, and I could explain that more in the interview. But we feel that in order for this to be really resolved, it has to be a paid service. So otherwise, it'll just always be a back burner issue. We'll get to it later. Oh, we have a stack of nonprofits that we will pay into later. So we feel that, no, this needs to be a paid service. So that way it actually gets resolved. I hope I make sense.
Yeah, you make sense. So my immediate question, I have two questions. My first one is, why do you not call it domestic violence, right? And then the second question is, what does that do for, like, I think it tends to be a reality that people in a lower socioeconomic area end up having to deal with this a little bit more often. And if you can correct me on that, then please. But if we're charging for this service, I understand that the exchange of energy or the exchange of finances probably has that person commit a little bit more, right? Like if I own my house and I've put down a down payment, I'm probably going to take care of it better than if I'm renting, right? Same idea. You're offering a place for people to truly be committed and make that decision to move forward. But what is your pricing look like when it, I think, traditionally is inside of a lower socioeconomic status area?
To answer your first question, domestic violence versus home violence, we prefer to say home violence because it's more inclusive. Domestic violence has such a stigma that it is a woman's problem, and clearly it is not. And secondly, it assumes that all of the victims are female, and that's not true either. So we prefer to say home violence. It's more inclusive. People can identify with that more, like home violence. Wow, those two words should never be in the same sentence. Bingo. So it just gets people to think differently about their home life, and that violence should not be a part of it at all. So that's the answer to the first question. The second question is, I have to say, home violence or the lack of safety, the lack of respect in homes, it carries over socioeconomic status, your religion, nationality, ethnicity, how many people you live with. You could be living with yourself. And if you're dating someone that is, you're headed down the road of, wow, he or she just pushed me, but then you make excuses for them. These are warning signs, really, that you're headed for trouble. So you could be rich, you could be poor, you could be white, Hispanic, Black, Arabic, you could be in a very ritzy area, or you could be in a poor area. Home violence actually is, it can happen anywhere at any time. You could come from a good family. You could come from no abuse, no violence, no chaos, no dysfunction. But then you date someone that is verbally, physically, sexually abusing you. But you come from a good home. So if you don't know the warning signs, you're in trouble. You could be in trouble. And if you don't know how to get out of it or to say, look, I respect myself enough to say, that's it. This is not good. I'm not going to marry the person. I'm not going to be engaged to the person. So you kind of nip it in the bud. So just to throw out some statistics, 1 out of 3 women will be beaten or raped in a lifetime. 1 out of 5 adolescent girls is abused by her boyfriend. 1 out of 7 men is abused. By the end of today, 4 women will be killed by their abusive partners, and most of them will be killed after they leave their abusers. So them leaving is not the answer. 15 million children witness violence in their own homes each and every year. That's just in the U.S., just the ones that we know about. About 324,000 pregnant women go into the emergency room, not for pregnant-related issues, but for abuse-related injuries. 80% of runaways come from violent homes. About 2 million incidents of workplace violence occurs in the U.S. alone. That comes out to be about 33,000 per week, and of those, 17 result in a murder. So we're talking a national scale, even a global scale. So it crosses over all lines of status, if you will. So I hope I answered the question. I hope I kind of gave a better picture of the reality of the problem.
So my question wasn't meant to say that it doesn't happen across. I think obviously home violence is not discriminatory, right? It doesn't only stay in certain households. I don't think it in any sort of way. No, not by race, not by gender. It happens across the board. Just in my limited experience and my own personal experience, and from what my own education is, it tends to be the reality. It happens very frequently in a lower socioeconomic status, usually because there's just not the education, there's not the resources, there's drugs involved, all these other things that contribute towards a higher rate of it. It's not to say that it doesn't happen across the board. Obviously, it does happen. But if we're charging for this thing, and it's something that ends up becoming like, it's almost like it sounds that it's almost a luxury to have this the service that you're offering.
We will see to it at OsoSafe that safety becomes a required standard in homes across the board, whether you rent, whether you own, whether you have a mortgage or not. Safety should not be a luxury. It should be a standard. It should be the ABCs of residency. So whether you live in a townhouse, a co-op, a condo, a single-family home, a multifamily dwelling, a two-family home, a villa, a mansion, a mobile home, a dormitory, a senior community, it shouldn't matter. You should not be. Can I curse on your show? Okay. I mean, I'm not going to curse like crazy, but no one should put up with that shit. No one. So when you put that key in your lock, you should feel like you could exhale, like you're going to be safe. You're not going to have to worry about, is he going to beat the shit out of me today? Or are my kids going to have verbal, physical, sexual abuse happen tonight? Or is she going to beat me up? My boyfriend, my girlfriend, my ex, maybe you're living with an ex, your grandmother, your grandfather, your whatever your home environment is. So it's, and as far as price, we have priced it where it is, and we could go into this further as far as the our core product, which is the OsoSafe certification for properties. And that entails purchasing the OsoSafe Home Sweet Home package. And it consists of a policy, a seminar, an app, and therapists assigned to the property. And we are pricing this right now at $125 per unit. So you get all of those components for $125 per unit, regardless of how many people are in your residence, in your home. So maybe you're a family of five. Maybe you're a single person. Maybe you have your husband, wife, two kids. It's $125 right off the bat. And there are three levels of certification, first, second, third. So, and I have inquired about this before pricing it, and I have been getting a lot of feedback like, wow, that's really reasonable. That is not, and it's a one-time fee. It's not like it's $125 per month. It's $125, a flat fee, to get your property OsoSafe certified per unit. I'm hoping that your listeners, your audience members, that you see that safety needs to become a standard. It shouldn't be something that I have to, how do I say it? It's just a part of, well, you have heat, hot water, electricity, central air. You may or may not have concierge depending upon where you live. You have window guards as a security if you have small children. Well, now with OsoSafe certifications, you have safety, and it's on paper. It's documented. Everybody's educated, whether you are in a relationship or not. Everybody's educated, adults and children alike, and therapists are assigned to the property. So that is like a brief summation of a further description of our product, if you will.
$125 is definitely, I think, what sounds like a reasonable price, right? I think for some people, it's still going to be, I'm sure, something that's not doable. But it's $125 is lower than I was anticipating, I'll tell you that. How are you able to pay a group of individuals to take care of an individual household? What are those services that are associated with those individuals that are helping? And yeah, I guess let's start there. And what do you consider violence?
You mean when you say the individuals, this would be the landlord, for example. We want this to propagate over all residency, like I mentioned before, whether you rent, whether you own, whether you have a mortgage or not. But right now, the path of least resistance, if you will, we are marketing this in the real estate industry to the landlord-tenant portion of the industry. So we're saying, look, Mr. and Ms. Landlord, hire us, we'll get your property OsoSafe certified. So the landlord would pay $125 per unit, whether they have two units, 10 units, hundreds of units, it's $125. So it's a one-time fee. Everybody gets educated. The policy gets signed. Therapists are assigned to the property. So you are required to check in with your therapist once a month. Is everything okay? Do you feel like anything is looming? Just to give an example, well, Mr. and Miss Therapist, our kid came home with bad grades. We're not going to beat the crap out of him or her, but we really don't know how to handle this. So help us out with this. So this and the app. Also, the app will detect violent-like movements and captures it in real time, issuing alerts to the landlord. So let's say, just to give an example, the landlord has 10 units. Wow, I just saw you beat the crap out of her in my unit 2, and you just beat the crap out of him in my unit 10. Well, this is grounds for eviction. You knew that this was going to happen. You signed the policy. I promised to provide you a safe space for you to live. You, in turn, as my tenant, you promised to not act in any way, shape, or form abusively. Otherwise, you, the abuser, only gets immediately evicted from the premises. And we go into full knowledge knowing that that would be the consequences. So there's no surprise. Oh, I didn't know that if I pull my partner's hair, that constitutes abuse. Now you know. So this is all on the first level of OSOSAFE certification. The landlord pays for it. To answer the second part of your question, or the second question that you mentioned, what is violence? Violence is... It starts out verbal. It usually starts out verbal, like disparagement. Why are you wearing that? I don't like it that you wear that. Why don't you wear longer pants? Or, and this could go for men and women. Let's say a guy is fashionable and he has a controlling girlfriend or boyfriend. I want you all to myself. Don't reveal yourself, your muscles, your beautiful legs, whatever the case may be. So you start changing how you look, how you dress, if you were outgoing. And now you're kind of being isolated. That's a sign. Financial. Let's say you start going out with somebody and all of a sudden, or little by little, they start to say, oh, well, why don't you let me take care of your finances? I'll take care of it. It's too much work for you. You just met somebody. They want to be on your account. They are paying the bills, but they're roping you in. So that's all like kind of subtle. And then it starts to get physical. Slapping, hitting, punching, kicking, pulling hair, pushing, shoving. It gets even more serious than that. Cigarette burns. And then it gets to sexual. It doesn't have to get to sexual assault, but raping, any sexual assault, unwanted sexual activity. You're being sexually trafficked to his friends or her friends for money. All of these things are verbal, physical, sexual abuse. Verbal, physical, sexual abuse. And I also want to say that people will say, well, what about the emotional, the mental abuse? The verbal and physical abuse kind of incorporates that mental, emotional abuse already. Because when someone is hitting you, they're not saying, I love you, you are so great. They're saying that you're a piece of garbage. You're nothing without me. It's all in there. The verbal, the mental, the emotional anguish, the abuse. So it's all included there. So I hope I gave bullying. Bullying is another form of abuse. Controlling your driving. I want you home by 7. If you're not home by 7, I'm calling the police. I have to work late. I'm working on a project. No, you're coming home at 7 and you call me. I'm going to come pick you up. Those are all examples of abuse. I hope I answered the question.
Yeah, I think you definitely did. It seems weird to it seems weird to profit on. I mean, ideally, to some degree, this has to continue to exist in order for there to be a profit. I think it's the same idea as in the healthcare system. People need to be sick to have hospitals, right? Consistent, or like have diabetes and have these problems, so we continue to profit. So it seems very like a parallel. And I think it already exists. And so like there's an opportunity for financial gain, which I don't know, it just seems odd to me to some degree. And then it, like, at what point, it just seems like there's such fine lines. I think with several of your examples, I'm like, I want to like ask questions or comments on that one. Like when, let's say I'm in a relationship and my significant other really doesn't look very good in her pants, or I don't look really good in my pants. I want her to tell me, hey, you look ridiculous. Wear something better. You know what? You're probably right. I'm sorry. Like, I think it kind of almost, it depends on the intent, not necessarily the statement. And so, yeah, that person might be telling me, hey, you don't look good today. You know what? I went drinking last night and I ate some food I shouldn't have. I'm bloated today and I don't really look good in this shirt. Are they telling me that because they are being violent towards me? Or are they telling me that really because they care? And so, like, how that is perceived could be different than the intention. And I think that it's just, it seems very aggressive to make not necessarily a judgment, but a call on, oh, they said that. That means boom, that's violence.
You can give constructive criticism to someone if you're in a relationship with someone, and there are going to be many times where you have to have difficult conversations like, look, I don't like how you do A, B, C, whatever the case may be. There's always respect though, Ben. So in abusive relationships, I don't know if you've ever been in one, you are controlled, you are dominated, you are manipulated, you have no freedom, you are a prisoner, a slave. It is very different than, you know, I really don't like how you look in that shirt. It just, it doesn't flatter you in any way. I don't mean to sound, I'm not trying to put you down, but I really think that blue is a better color for you than red. That is not saying, an abuser would say, you take that off right now. I don't like that at all. You look like garbage. They would say a lot worse than that. I'm just trying to be diplomatic on your show. So there's a big difference. And it's not about taking advantage of people. Like you compared it to the healthcare system, there has to be sick people so that way the doctors and the nurses and the medical field can make money. We need to think of it as you're going to make money on preventing people from getting sick, because you always have to go to the doctor for a checkup. It's about maintaining, creating and maintaining health. So if you don't get sick, great. But you're going to the doctor. You have to get checked out. You have to go for blood tests. You have to go to make sure, wow, you may be getting diabetes. Well, you're not going to not go to the doctor. You have to go to the doctor, get your blood tested, and say those blood levels are high. So this is the medication that you need to take. And maybe we're going to include more exercise versus waiting. Oh my gosh, we have to cut that leg off now because you didn't come to us early enough. And now because of your diabetes is so escalated, well, we have to cut your leg off now or your foot because the diabetes is so far in your body that it's too late. So that's what we're saying. We are on the preventative side. So if you have people sign a policy, get people educated, you have therapists assigned to the property, we have technology that says, wow, it eliminates the he said, she said factor. We just saw you beat the crap out of her. You just beat the crap out of him. We have evidence. So now your property has this level of safety. You're fostering a safe environment. I would rather raise my kids in an OSOSAFE certified property versus one that isn't, because you have the mechanisms and systems in place to make sure that there's no violence that happens. And I would rather raise my kid in a place that is OSOSAFE certified. And even if it does happen, it's nipped in the bud. We don't wait until bad news travels fast. The police come. Wow, did you hear what happened in 2A? I thought something was off with him. I heard him yelling and screaming at their kid, and it wasn't in a way that was respectful, that was educational. He was beating the crap out of his kid. She was beating the crap out of the kid. So this is all preventative. It's not about, okay, there's abuse, so we're going to make money off of you. It's about prevention. You have to brush your teeth, right? You have to brush your teeth. You have to take care of your gums. You still have to go to the dentist twice a year to get those teeth cleaned. So that way you prevent gum disease. You prevent your teeth falling out. So you still have to go to the doctor, to the dentist. It's the same idea with safety, with OSOSAFE. I hope I made a better analogy, if you will.
Yes, I think so. So I still have I can see where you're coming from, and I think that it's good, it's cool. So my next question, my follow-up question would be, what is it like? How can you maintain a high quality of care? Like, let's say I have a unit down the street. I probably have a unit that's like 200 to 300 doors, right? Let's say the landlord pays for all 250 doors. And how do you maintain a quality level of care with that number of individuals? And then my other question, and I know I because I need to ask them both, or else I'm going to forget. The other one is, I want, and we can kind of like gravitate towards this way, is like, how does the app work? Is there film involved, camera involved? Is it just auditory, stuff like that?
When you say 250 doors, meaning 250 units?
Correct.
Okay. And your question is, how do you maintain, how do you keep up with all of the residents?
Because I mean, I pay, let's say I have a therapist of my own, right? Therapy isn't cheap, right? And so you're talking about an education, you're talking about certification, you're talking about a psychiatrist or a therapist or a counselor. You have a lot of people going into creating this system and creating the opportunity for people to have access to this education. How do you make sure that you don't have a counselor who's like, yeah, everything good? Well, things aren't the best. Okay, well, you know, that sounds good. Maybe we'll check in next month and see how things go, right? Somebody who's maybe a little more carefree.
Yeah, no. First of all, the therapists become OSOSAFE certified themselves. So we train them to what we expect. So they cannot be lackadaisical about it. They can't be, this is just a quick check-in. And there are certain questions that we ask to make sure, like, are all the boxes checked? Verbally, physically, mentally, is there anything looming? So we ask questions, we get the therapist OSOSAFE certified, and then we have the therapist ask certain questions every month. And it's just a quick call. And the tenant can either call the therapist. So it's the tenant that calls the therapist to check in with their therapist. And that's all part of the $125. Now, let's say there's a problem. Like I mentioned, bad grades, there's bullying. My kid is being bullied at school. Or how do we handle this? So that is when the tenant pays the therapist for extra sessions. That first level of OSOSAFE certification, it's included as part of their tenancy. But then if it goes deeper than that, then that's when the tenant pays the therapist. And it's just something that they work out among themselves. It's a pay scale, because we're saying to the therapist, look, you have automatic clients here. So let's say you have a building of 10 units, 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 units, hundreds of units. You have an automatic clientele here. And it's actually putting therapy on the map, if you will, where it's part of your residency. Because I have to say, one good thing that COVID did is put on the front burner how important our mental health is. It's not a passive thing, like you could just brush it off. And I think COVID removed, or at least lessened dramatically, the shame of getting therapy. Like, it's a lot less shameful now. And in fact, there's shame in not getting help versus getting help. So, and I'm so grateful for that as far as COVID. I mean, if I was asked, what did COVID do? Like, what is one thing that COVID did that was positive? It's putting mental health on the forefront. And we're all dealing with something, all of us. I don't care how good of an upbringing you have. Therapy is it's like you go to the doctor, you know, for your cardio, if you have diabetes, if you have problems with your digestion, you've got specialists for everything. Well, for therapy, your mental health, it's very important. In fact, your mental health affects the rest of your body. So we feel that this should be a part of your residency, a part of your a better home life, if you will, because if you're not mentally okay, nothing else is going to be okay. So I hope I answered the question. It's about respect. And I thought long and hard about this. What is the one ingredient that makes a home safe? You know, you have that phrase, home sweet home. Okay. What makes it sweet? Well, it's safety. You're safe in your home. Well, how do you create safety? What is it that creates safety? And I've asked this question in my seminars and workshops, you know, and people say food and family and love and trust. Yes, those are all correct. But if you were to boil down, to have it boiled down to one word, it's respect. So it's creating and maintaining respect in your home, whether you're by yourself or with your whole family. And we're not saying at Oso Safe you're never going to fight with your significant other. That's ridiculous. Of course you're going to fight with him or her. You're going to get into arguments. You're going to get into disagreements, into conflict. But Ben, it should never, ever, ever cross that line of abuse, not verbal, not physical, not sexual. So if you're saying, I'm saying this is red, and your partner's saying, well, I'm saying this is green, fine. There's a way to fight. There's a way to argue. You're not going to call each other, you're a piece of shit. You're nothing. That is so stupid of you to think of that. Or you're going to beat the crap out of each other, and worse, in front of your kids. I should know. I was one. I am a survivor of violence. My father beat my mother on a regular basis, and my mother beat me. So when you have respect, everybody's safe. So, and we teach all of this in our seminars, our workshops. We map it out in the policy.
So
I hope I answered that. I wanted to get to the app, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we'll get to the app shortly. I think there's still more here. So, if my landlord is paying for me to get educated, what's for me to never call the therapist? I can still abuse. Sure, my location is certified, but I can still partake in the abuse of the location or the individual. Maybe this is where the app comes in. Or I could just never call my therapist. If it's on me, then ultimately I just never call her. She never, like, I can create the environment for my significant other to feel like they cannot, and you better not, right? I can communicate that to this individual, and then to be like, okay, well, why aren't you guys calling us in? It's like, well, we just, you know, we don't think we need your help right now. I mean, if I tell an abuser or a drug addict, hey, you know, this stuff's not good for you, right? They're like, yeah, I know. So what? Like, I'm going to partake in it anyway, whether it's here or if it's at McDonald's or if it's at the grocery store. Like, just because you're stopping it here at the home, it doesn't mean that I'm not going to wait for later to write this down, and I'm going to remember next time we're at the gym, next time we're walking around. Next time you're trying to get into the car, I'm going to remember. And yeah, so I think, like, what's to stop someone from still partaking in those efforts? And also my other question.
You mean an abuser?
Yeah.
Mean like an abuser. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're still individuals. Yeah. But an abuser.
Yeah.
And then, like, what percent, like, let's say the therapist makes the sell. They're like, yeah, let's go ahead and see each other more often. What does it do for, how does that, you know, what percentage of commission? I would assume there's a commission percentage that's given to OSO versus the therapist. And what does that look like?
Abusers, they will put their poker face on for only so long. I could tell you that from personal and professional experience, for that matter. They could put on the face of, yeah, everything is fine. I'm great. I'm good. My family's great. I don't need this. Or I'm going to pretend that I'm going to abide by the rules. But once the doors lock, we're behind closed doors, everything will be different. Abusers will always, whether it will take a couple of weeks, a couple of days, a couple of months, rest assured, their abusive colors will come out. That's a given. So, and we will know. We will know. It's not going to be a secret. I could tell you that, because abusers are very controlling, dominating, manipulating, as I mentioned before. And they will not be quiet and goody-goody for a long period of time at all. They like it, in fact, to see, you can't control me. I'm here. I could do whatever I want. You're out. You're evicted. We have it in the policy. You went through the seminar. We have the app that shows the proof. And therapists will say, look, he or she demonstrated abusive tendencies. They said this was verbally disparaging to the kids. So there's going to be an expectation in an OSO Safe certified property. It's going to take work. It's going to take an effort on both parties. But in the long run, not even in the long run, in the immediate time frame, everybody will be better off for it, because no one can live their best life living with a terrorist in any capacity. And that's what it's like when you're living with an abuser in any capacity. It's like living with a terrorist. You're on watch. You're constantly on eggshells. You can't be yourself. You have to shut down. You can't think about what it is that you want to do in life. If you have dreams of being a dancer, an actor, an engineer, a doctor, a lawyer, an artist, a fashion designer, well, you can't think about that at all, because you are always in alarm mode, in urgency, in, I got to fight a war. What's going to happen? Oh my gosh, I just got beat up yesterday. What's going to happen today? Mom just got beat up. Dad got a cell phone thrown at him by his girlfriend that's living here. There is no way that you could live your best life. And you know what, Ben? You're not supposed to. So Our products and services, I feel, have been so over. It's been way overdue, way, way, way overdue, especially for kids. No child should live with violence, abuse, chaos, dysfunction. And in this country alone, there are 15 million of them, and five a day are murdered at the hands of an abusive parent. Not in Pakistan, not in Saudi Arabia, not in Brazil, not in right here, right here at home. It's inexcusable, unacceptable. I'm sorry, but no one should live like that, especially children. And I have to say, there are so many parents that have it right. They're doing it right. There's respect. Whenever there is conflict, they sit down, they talk about it. Well, why did you get this bad grade? Is somebody bullying you at school? Talk to me. If you're not ready to talk right now, then let me know when you're ready to talk. I'm here for you. I'm not going to judge you. So many families speak like this with each other. I need space. Can you please give me some space? I don't want to talk to anybody for 20 minutes. I had a really bad day. I just really need to exhale. That is all respectful. And so many families have it right. So in my head, I'm saying to myself, well, if they have it right, how come every family on the planet cannot do this? They can if they get educated. And it's got to be a practice, Ben. We're not saying snap your fingers, it's all done. Okay. People sign the policy, they do the seminar, everything is going to be fine. No, of course not. This is going to take practice and repetition. But we feel at OsoSafe, once we gain more momentum, this is going to catch on. And no one is going to want to live in a property that's not OsoSafe certified because we're setting the standard for safety, for respect. I hope I make sense.
Yeah, I think it makes sense. I just, again, if I have an abuser and like that one time that like what if there's still nothing necessarily stopping them from continuing those actions. It's just a governing body that's saying, yeah, we don't allow that. And it's like, well, there's already a lot of governing bodies that don't allow that, right? They don't allow what would be considered domestic violence. If I call 911, they're going to come to a domestic violence situation, right? They don't, for the sake of the law, that's what it's called, right? It's not called home violence. I think in most cases, if it's written down on paper, it's considered domestic violence. I think home violence, I appreciate the change in terminology. I think it's a little bit more, again, I think you had it right. It's inclusive, but I think the domicile is the place that I live, right? Which is why I think the word domestic is still appropriate and still legal. I think it's just preference. I think at that point, like whether you want to call it domestic or home, but there's still nothing stopping me from going to a different location. Like again, being with my significant other and we're at the movies. It's like we can just spend all day out and not at home. And yeah, it could take maybe months or years for an individual to finally like break maybe, and for other people to see that on the outside or on the inside, vice versa. I think that unfortunately, as humans, they're going to find a workaround. Like it's just, I think the way that
But
abusers will try to do.
if they will be evicted, and they will be evicted only, not the rest of the family. So then it moves into the second level of OsoSafe certification. So we go in with extra therapists to get the rest of the family, whether there's kids or no kids, assuming that there are kids, to get them de-victimized, if you will. They won't have to move. They won't have to uproot the kids, move them to a different school, go to a shelter, upside down, all around, run around town like a refugee. No, get him or her out. It's the title of my TEDx talk. If you're a victim of home violence, don't leave, stay. Why should you leave? You're the victim. Get him or her out and stay out. It's part of the certification. They're not coming back. They signed the policy. They went through the education. I realize what you're saying, but we feel that the more we gain momentum, it just won't be allowed. It won't be an accepted part of residency. Yeah, he beats me up. She beats me up. Oh, yeah, we discipline our kids. We raise our kids the way we want to. No, it's a new way of residency, but it's a standard now. It's a standard. It's a foundation, fostering a safe environment. Excuse me, for all, whoever you live with. And yes, granted, they can live elsewhere where it's not OSO Safe certified, but our intent is to have every property OSO Safe certified, where they'll just keep getting evicted to the point where you either get your shit together or you're not living anywhere. You're going to be homeless, which is where you should be, because nobody should put up with that. No one. You have no business living anywhere. If you're going to act like a beast, like a savage, like a barbarian, I hope you don't live like that. I hope that you're safe. You know, as my host, as my interviewer, I hope that, like, this has to be basic. I mean, as base, even more basic than heat, hot water, electricity, central air. Like I mentioned, you can't live your best life, and you shouldn't, especially for kids. I can't stress that enough.
So, I mean, I the reason I ask the questions the way I do, and then, you know, kind of, I think about this as ultimately especially if it's a corporation, it's for business, like for profit, then as a landlord, I'm thinking, okay, why am I going to pay $125 when everything is already so expensive and my profit margin on my rental is already not a lot? My cash flow is, let's say my cash flow is $500 a month. Like, why am I going, like, my taxes at the end of the year? I mean, everything at the end of the year, it's expensive, you know? And especially if now I'm having to deal with all this. So is it ideal for the family that's living there? No. But through a business sense, just because I've, you know, just continuously talking with other individuals in other situations that are related to just investment meetings and just from what I've heard, it's just like, yeah, I've been told. It's like, yeah, that sounds really great, Ben. It's a great idea. But how is this going to make me money? And at the end of the day, if it's not going to make an individual more money, then they're just like, all right, well, it's a good idea, but good luck with that. I'm not going to help you. And it's an unfortunate reality, but that, I think that's the reason I think I can come across as sometimes maybe aggressive in my question asking. It's because, like, I think it should be a standard. I think, like, having a safe household should definitely be a standard. I was raised in a generally safe environment, but I don't want to get too far into that world, but there were times where, like, my dad would put me in handcuffs and make me walk around the house. He was a cop. He was going through a lot, I'm sure. And yelling at me, or like the words of, you know, you're worth nothing. Like, in this house, you are worth nothing. Those are words that, and there's a lot there, but that's not the point. I understand, and I can relate. And I agree, but to some degree, like, if there was just, like, in that location, would there have been an OSO Safe certification? Would that area have ever been educated about what OSO Safe was? Probably not. Like, nobody's going to invite that.
I'm sorry. Would that what?
That town, that city where 90% of the population lives underneath the poverty line, are they going to even be introduced to this? Maybe, right, through podcasting or through TED Talks and stuff like that. That's how we get that stuff out there. But even if they were exposed to it, how often is it, like, perceived as, just another girl trying to, you know, save the world, right? And again, I agree with you. And I think that it's sad that that perception exists, because I think that it should be a standard. I think it's sad that people go day to day without feeling safe. I think it's unfortunate that kids will see either abuse between the parents or made felt like they are not valuable enough to just exist anymore and commit suicide or go into drugs. And like, again, I speak to this from more personal experience at this point. Like, I think it sucks. Like, it flat out sucks. But my question is more, how can we understand in a way that this cannot just be communicated to a small sect of individuals, but how can we have everybody understand, like, this should be a standard, right? But then I think a lot of red flags go up usually when people start seeing, oh, a certification process. Okay. Where's the money going? You know, like, how are they doing this? $125 a month. Wow. Or $125 total. Wow. That's pretty affordable. Now, what does this mean to me? One, as a business person, like, or as a landlord? And then what, like, and then my other question is, as a tenant, what is the quality of care that this, like, I'm going to pay, maybe the landlord pays $125 to get Oh So Safe certified, but they're going to pass that on. And then now they can market themselves as Oh So Safe. And now they're, instead of charging $1,000 a month in rent, now they're charging $1,500 because, well, we're Oh So Safe. Do you want to go to the other place? Or do you want to come here? And it's like, well, shit, like, now it's becoming harder and harder to be in a community, to afford my rent.
So, but in a way you're saying, yeah, abuse, you're making a case for abuse. That's what you're saying. You're saying you're defending abusers. You're defending, it's a crapshoot. If you happen to go through abuse, too bad. And if you don't go through any abuse, okay, good for you. But if you do, oh, well, we cannot throw our hands up in the air, toss it up to chance anymore. And I have to say, home violence is a lot more expensive than $125 per month to get your property Oh So Safe certified. Because when you have home violence in your building, in your area, and even if you live in a single family home, the neighbors know about it. The neighbors' neighbors know about it. It affects everyone's residency. People are uneasy. They feel awkward. They're thinking, when are the police going to show up two houses down again? Oh my gosh, those kids are going through hell. People feel powerless. Home violence in a building, bad news travels fast. And then the consequences are your property gets destroyed because abusers break things. They break things, they throw things, or they break objects on the people that they live with. Or they hurt the person, stabbing, shooting, throwing objects, they get cut. Ambulance comes. What happened? The other neighbors, what happened? The other people in the building, what happened? Oh, well, he went on a rampage again. Or the worst of it, there's a murder. There's a murder that happened in the building. Try to rent that property or sell that condo when everyone knows, yeah, that's where he beat the shit out of her to the point where she's dead. She died in there. She was murdered in there. You're not going to be able to rent that anytime soon. I could tell you that. Just the cleanup, the bad reputation. And furthermore, your good tenants, meaning your safe practicing tenants, your respectful tenants, they're going to get the hell out of there. I don't need this shit. I'm out. I'm going to go where it's Oh So Safe certified. This would be happening if it was Oh So Safe certified. Now I got to uproot my kids. I was hearing police come. I was hearing the kids crying. She was screaming at 2 a.m. He threw something. She threw. That is way more expensive, if you add it all up, than $125 for a maintenance fee for safety. respect in every unit. So again, I hope I answer the question, and I feel like you're like, again, and maybe it could be how you were brought up. Like I sense that, and it's okay. You know, it's okay. All of us, too many of us have that common thread of, wow, me too. My dad beat me up, or my mom beat me up, or I got raped by my dad or my mother, pornography, BDSM. I mean, too many of us have that common thread. And you can, I don't want to say make excuses for it or say, oh, you know, well, that was part of my past. It's in your present. And if you're not careful, if you're not educated, if you don't practice safety and do homework on yourself by talking to a therapist, some therapy, any therapy, whether it be group or one-on-one, which we give that option in our OSO Safe Certified properties, you will repeat the cycle. And then those kids, your kids, will grow up repeating the cycle, dating someone that is like mom and dad, where dad beat the crap out of her or mom beat the crap out of him. Oh, well, that's just how it was in my family. No, 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 no. You deserve better. You deserve safety. You deserve to be in a good relationship. You need to have that engraved in your brain where you know the warning signs, and you will not enter into a real estate contract with this abusive person in any capacity. You will leave and say, I deserve better. I'm not going to repeat the same mistakes. It was hell for me growing up. I'm not going to do that to my kids. I'm not going to do that to my kids' kids or to my partner, my future partner. So we don't want to make a case for abuse. We don't want to defend abuse in any capacity, verbal, physical, or sexual abuse. There's so many good websites out there that of parents showing how they're parenting. And it doesn't have to be this violence, abuse, chaos, dysfunction. I mean, in my own house, everything was war. Everything was war. Whether I got good grades, bad grades, whether I felt cold or whether I felt hot, whether I got sick, it was war. My father would blame my mother. You got her sick. How come you didn't put that jacket on her? How come you didn't shut the windows? Don't you see that it's what? I mean, chaos, chaos. None of this nonsense goes on in a safe, respectful home, whether home, whatever home is for you. So I'm sorry if I went off on a tangent, but I hope I answered the question. Yeah.
I just think you started off with, like, you know, you're supporting abuse, which I think is a heck of a statement to make, you know. And I thought I had made it very, very clear in my previous statement where I said it's not good. I mean, it's obviously not good. I'm asking in a way that, how is this something that's scalable? Why is this something that's attractive to ultimately the people that you're selling to? Right. I think I've made it very clear that it's obviously not something I'm for. Right. I'm not making excuses. I'm not arguing against a safe versus an unsafe environment. I am asking in a way that is from the perspective of, how does this be implemented? How is this practical? And how does this make sense? What does this really mean? How do you define these things? How can this be applied? What about these other things? Have you thought about the people that are going to abuse anyway? Have you thought about the people that are just business focused and don't really, like, yeah, they care generally about abuse in the household. Yes, it's expensive to have my stuff at the end of the year, like, have to fix it, but I also get a tax write-off at the end of the year if there's more damage to the place than not. I can have a depreciation at the end of the year that benefits my taxes. So then the people that do understand those aspects of it, I ask from that standpoint. So like, how can, again, if you're going to be selling to people that own these larger properties, because that's how I think Oso say, like, yes, you can go house by house, and that's, I'm sure, long-term profitable as well. But if I'm selling to these larger homes, like if I have 30, like let's say as personally, I know a couple guys that own several hotels, right? Several hotels, some apartment complexes, all these other jams, right? So let's say he owns 1,000 doors. If I sat across from him and I'm saying, hey, this is what I can sell, this is my certification, and these are my services, the questions aren't like, yeah, everybody understands that abuse is bad. Okay, so then how is this going to function? How is this going to work, and why is it going to work? And then if it doesn't make sense, then they're just going to say, you have a really good idea, but I'm sorry, I'm not going to move forward with this at the end of the day. And so Oso ends up losing, and then the abusees end up losing as well. And so because if your goal is to educate, right, and that's Oso's goal, but also to be profitable, because I think that people that are in the place of protecting others, like police, firefighters or therapists, they should be paid for their services. I've been paying for therapy for the last 9 years. I believe in it. I care about it. I just want to make sure that this is something that is truly something that's accessible, that's scalable, that's hopefully, you know, does succeed. But again, how does it succeed? And then like the app, you said something like you can track aggressive movements. And so maybe I want to speak out of turn here, but people are into some weird stuff, right? Like, let's say, like, you know, we have a mutual agreement that BDSM is my jam and we like to move aggressively. So then at what line is drawn of, okay, now we're going to walk into people's houses and we're filming them or we're tracking their movements. I don't want to live in a place that's going to track my movements all the time. I don't even like Alexa in my house. It's just weird to me, right? I don't want somebody listening in. It's a barrier for me. It's an entry point barrier. I would rather go to therapy because, like, I've done that. It works. I've loved it. It's made me into a better human. The way that I interact with my own personal relationships, romantic relationships, the relationship with my parents, like, it's proven to be massively beneficial for my life. Again, something I support, something I agree with, but
let me answer those before you go into other questions. From a business standpoint, it's very profitable. It's very advantageous to any business owner. It's the same idea whether you have one unit or thousands and thousands of units. You want your residents to be safe. You want them to practice safety in terms of respecting one another and not abusing one another. For the reasons that I mentioned before, that's worth repeating. The bad news travels fast. If you have police coming to the residence in one apartment, your safe residents will evict. They will get out of there. They will not want to stay. So we're looking to flip the script, if you will. So safer residency is better for business. It's good business. It's profitable business because you're making residency safe beyond the heat, hot water, electricity, central air, concierge, having window guards, everything being in code or up to code. Now you're caring about people's safety in terms of violence. No violence, no abuse, no chaos, no dysfunction. We are speaking to the mortgage companies and insurance companies, actually, to make it extra advantageous for landlords to get their properties Oso Safe certified, or property owners, whether they're a landlord or not, property owners, because that way their insurance rates will go down and their property values will go up if they get their property Oso Safe certified. So we are speaking to the insurance portion of the industry. So that way there's more incentive there. And I get what you're saying, because that way there's more oomph, there's more meat to everything that Oso Safe is doing. And I I understand. I mean, and we are speaking to the insurance companies because the insurance companies are the ones that would benefit from this, you know, that would they would be another big entity to benefit from getting properties OSO Safe certified. So this is another feature that we are offering to property owners, as well as make it part of the mortgage, make it part of your leases. In fact, the policy is an addendum to existing leases right now. So, and this is all legal. I always consult with a small team of lawyers on everything that we're doing, so to make sure that the what is it, the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed, so to speak. So just more incentives, definitely. And I thank you for bringing that up because it is important to any landlord, any big real estate mogul, if you will, or someone that owns hundreds of thousands of properties. So they see dollar signs, and I get it. But and we see dollar signs. So that's why we're not nonprofit. We are a business just like they are. So, and it's not about you know, I don't have anything against making a lot of money. The more money you can make, the more good you can do. That's the way I see it. So, because all of the statistics that I said before, the nonprofits are there, right? The nonprofits, the charities. Well, if they were doing if what they were doing was really effective, those numbers, those statistics would be greatly diminished. So those numbers are horrific. And all of those statistics that I mentioned, that's not even painting the real picture because 75% of crime, of home violence is not even reported. So those numbers are not even the true picture of how horrific the problems are. The app, and I can't go into too much detail because an NDA would have to be signed, but we use facial recognition and artificial intelligence to match your expression with what's being done to you. So if you're roughhousing, well, the app is not going to pick that up, but punching, hitting, slapping, raping, cigarette burns. Those are violent like movements. And right now it's being improved upon, it's being modified because we always improve our technology. It will pick up those violent movements, if you will. So it's a detection. And like I said, it's using facial recognition and AI, artificial intelligence, to pinpoint, wow, that's that this matches. Well, that's violence, that's abuse. To go into, and I mentioned pornography, I said BDSM, you echoed it. I have to say, and I have personal and professional experience with this, BDSM. Erotica is one thing. And if you like it rough, that's one thing. That's still erotica. But BDSM, it stands for bondage, domination, sadism, and masochism. The people that do that, and for the most part, to my knowledge, BDSMers are for the most part women. The glamorous title is a financial dominatrix. They're sex abusers, they're sex traffickers. Hidden in plain sight in our societies, our communities, our neighborhoods. And these women date or marry men that are submissive and they could have children of their own, and they rope them in, and it's a recipe for disaster, Ben, where everybody in that environment, in that household, is a prisoner, a slave under the reign of a BDSMer. For the most part, they're women. And I have to say, in pornography, it's something like 95, and I'm not exaggerating, 95 to 97% of the people that do pornography, BDSM, for the most part, it's BDSM, they have been sexually abused. So they're repeating the cycle. And it's parallel to child rape, child pornography, sex trafficking. So that's why sex trafficking is alive and well. When you have these people that are not in some Playboy mansion, they're right in our neighborhoods, our communities, our societies. They could be part of your PTA. So this is a horrible environment to raise children. This is a horrible relationship. Because it's all rooted in sex abuse, in domination. I mean, look at the acronym for crying out loud, BDSM. What does it stand for? Bondage, not a good thing. Domination, not a good thing. Sadism, masochism. So you are getting off on, you are getting pleasure, sexually turned on by me beating the shit out of you. By me spitting in your mouth.
Some people like this it.
Yeah, but it's not it's not okay. And these people that do this, the camera turns off, the abuse continues. It's not like it's a switch. Oh, I'm respectful now. They are sexually abusing off cam, and they are grooming the kids in that environment to be like them. So it's not a healthy, positive, empowering, encouraging environment, home environment. And I have personal and professional experience with this. So I'm speaking from experience. So, and I've seen it, I've witnessed it firsthand. So yeah, I get it. You could be turned on by that. That's what you're into. It goes beyond that though, because these women and men that are into this, they are sexually abusing the children in their lives. Mark my words. So it's not just, okay, the camera stops, we're done. Hi, honey, let's have movie night. I love you so much. Wow, I'm so proud of you. That language doesn't exist in a BDSM household. It doesn't.
I don't think that it's fair. I don't think it's fair to say like it doesn't exist at all in all of those households. I think that some people like to have that environment. And again, like that, like, if that's what you're into, that's what you're into. It's not necessarily something that I am, but some people really like the bondage stuff, right? Like the handcuffs. I think if you go to any sex store, they're like, they're popular for a reason. Like they sell, you know, they're even if it's just for fun, for play, whatever, you take them off. Like you have them in your drawer, you maybe use them once or twice and then never again. Maybe it's something you use whenever the time is right and you want to like treat your partner to like, but again, like that's still technically inside bondage. I don't think that like all of it always goes together. I could be wrong. I mean, I guess you can have bondage without, I guess you can't have bondage without being a dominant. There's obviously an exchange of dominant versus submissive, right? But, it like just because you're bonded doesn't mean that you appreciate pain or want pain, you know, like,
but that's what it is.
But not
pain equals pleasure. That's
correct.
What it is.
What I'm saying is that I could be, let's say I think like a classic, like girl tied up against like the bed frame. Right. We've seen it in movies, whatever. Right. So we see this girl there. It doesn't mean that she's getting, there is pain being applied to her. From what I understand, a safe way to tie people up, right? Just in case something happens and somebody can get out. I think there's rules to this game that are beyond me. And if you know more than I'm sorry that I overstepped, but from what I understand that there's rules, there's a reason that there's ways for people to say, hey, like I'm done with a safe word, right? People, there are safe words that exist. And I think usually for the most part in a healthy place, because I think that this can be done. And again, I don't want to partake in it, but somebody might want to, and that for them, it's healthy and safe. And they're like, hey, if I say fries, then I'm like, that's my tapping point. And they say fries and the person's like, okay, I'm so sorry. Did not mean to. What did I do wrong? And what can I do better next time? That to me seems pretty healthy. I mean, it's like that experience, like that, just that like very short, small little story, to me sounds healthy. It's mutual. It's agreed upon. There's a respect in the bedroom. Hey, you know, I want to try this. Hey, I, you know what, let's go ahead and try it out. Let's see if it's fun. They try it. They both like it. It's like, let's do this. You know, we can like ask each other if you want to do this every once in a while. Sounds good. And then there's communication to support what's going on, and it stays inside the bedroom and it doesn't leave. And then after I leave, I'm like, man, we had a great time the other night. Don't you think? Yeah, we had a great time. Awesome. Love it. And then do you want to do that again tomorrow? Like, I mean, that I don't see anything wrong with that, but I don't want to control what somebody else is doing inside the bedroom. You know, like as long as it's safe and consensual, then I don't care if you guys are doing whatever you want to do. I don't care if there's food involved. Do I like the idea of food being involved in the bed? Is it sanitary? No, it's disgusting. It's gross. But that's just what I think. It could be something. I think we're gone on a tangent here, but I think it's good for somebody else, you know, if that's what they like, and it's communicated and it's appreciated.
BDSM is fundamentally rooted in sex abuse. There's nothing freeing about it. And BDSM pornography, you are not asked, did you like that? I'm so sorry. You're not asked. Erotica, yes. Erotica, yes. But BDSM, pornography. And there's so many articles where, I mean, Pornhub, I think the New York Times, not I think, I know. The New York Times did an in-depth investigation on Pornhub. And their exact words, and I'm quoting, it was infested with child rape, videos of child rape. And credit card companies like Visa and MasterCard, to my knowledge, no longer allow their credit cards to have any charges for Pornhub, all of these websites, because they say, look, they're blurring the lines. It's not adults anymore. It's not like a BDSM or a pornographer will say, yeah, we're going to just keep this in the bedroom and it's just us and it's only consenting adults. I used to think that too, Ben, but that's not the case. Children are involved. They rope the children in. And these porn sites, like the investigations that are done, proves it. And for the credit card companies, mind you, Visa and MasterCard, if I'm not mistaken, it's one or both. They do not allow their credit cards to be used, to be consumed for pornography, these pornographic sites. And it's in line with sex trafficking. I mean, ever since the internet, and I'm not saying the internet is bad, and you know, it's up to you to use it well, right? So if you're going to use it for abuse, well, you know, anything could be used for abuse. TikTok, right? The you could use it for good or you could use it for not good. So with pornography, BDSM, it's fundamentally rooted in sex abuse. And there's sex trafficking, like I mentioned, child rape, child pornography. These adults do not leave it in the bedroom with the adults. They are grooming the children in their lives to do what they do. It's familial trafficking. It's called familial trafficking. And the kids living in these environments are in hell. They're in hell. And furthermore, BDSM is legal. It's legal. But child rape, child pornography, child sex trafficking is illegal. Well, we need to make BDSM illegal because the women and the men doing this, like I said, they are sex abusers. Period, over and out. It doesn't just get left, oh, we're going to do this. I'm going to chain you up. It'll be fun. We'll use a code word to... If you stop, BDSMers don't do that. They don't do that. Pornographers don't do that.
I just personally, I wouldn't feel comfortable making that that generalized statement. I mean, that's saying, you know, all women are manipulators, all men are abusers.
No. It's not the same thing. No, don't twist my words around, please.
What I'm saying is, like,
BDSM.
People make those statements, and I think they're general things. Like, I'm not saying that you are saying that. I'm saying people have said for a long time. I think it's like women just like to spend money. Women are manipulators. Men are abusers. Men are drunks. They just want sex. Men are dogs, right? Classic phrases. I'm not saying you saying those. Those are just classic phrases. It's like, I think we've learned. I think we've evolved as a humanity, as a society that says, no, it's not all men. It's not all women. I think that there's bad apples in both bunches. Men can be manipulators just as easy as a woman can be a manipulator, right? Like, it's not mutually exclusive. So I think the same thing inside of BDSM. I don't think that all BDSM people are all just abusing and raping kids. I think that's insane. I don't know. That to me is aggressive. I know of a couple people, but they don't even have kids. So, I mean, like, are they into? I don't know.
They don't even have kids.
They do not.
Oh, they do not. Okay. Okay. So, ask a BDSMer that has kids and talk to the kids only. You will have a very different answer.
If I have the opportunity to.
And they will echo what I'm saying. You know, if they don't have kids, that's good. And I hope it stays that way. But if they do, talk to the kids alone. You will have a true picture of what goes on behind closed doors. And it's not good.
If I have the chance to, then I will.
And don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying all women or, you know, that's a different, I would never make that generalization. But with BDSM, I mean, just look at that acronym. I mean, you know, leave them alone. If they like to have to eat their feces, eat each other's feces, because that's BDSM, or they like to urinate on one another and drink each other's urine, that should be okay. They're consenting adults. But how is that empowering? How is that a positive relationship? I mean, if you're capable of doing that, well, how is that freeing? How is that respectful? How is that, you know, we talk a lot about, I would say in this country and around the world, about spirituality and good mental health. And, well, if I like it that you urinate on me, we're in a relationship, or that you like it that I urinate on you, how is that going to be in any way, shape, or form empowering to you or to me?
I don't think it is. I think it's disgusting. But, you know, like,
okay.
But I'm sure that, like, it's just there. I don't think that I have the power to control what happens in somebody else's household across the world. I can preach all day and say, yes, it's not empowering. I think BDSM is not, it is not what I want. Putting someone through pain, whether that be mental or physical, it doesn't seem healthy, right? I can say that all day and I believe it, but at the end of the day, someone just as easy as it is for me to talk to somebody about like health and fitness, right? That's my area. I'm a specialist. I have a specialty in that space, right? So if I tell someone, hey, you really got to stop eating those hamburgers and French fries every single day, like I am eating right now, they're gonna they're like, dude, you know what? I totally agree. That's such a good idea. And then 2 weeks later, they're gonna be like, man, I just really, really want one. Yeah, it's going to suck. And it's my coach is over there. Yeah, I'm not going to lose the weight I want. I'm going to be sad inside maybe for a little while. And I'm not going to feel good. But I'm not there to say, hey, no. Like, don't be doing that anymore. I just think it's unrealistic to, like, I think we can all make an impact, and I think what you're doing can make an impact, and I think it will continue to make an impact. It's I wonder for all things, not just in this, like with you specifically, like how much of all of the negative will we ever get rid of? Like, to some degree, there's going to be some of it that exists, right? 10, like, let's say a super successful program does 50% elimination. That's pretty great. Is it all going to go away? No. But it's a lot, right? And that's like really successful, I think. Nothing is ever entirely complete because we're human and we're flawed and something else is going to come up. And I like, and again, not just this, not just your specific topic. It's just something that I wonder on, like, not a daily basis, but in this moment, like wondering how much of that evilness do we really need in order to continue to get, like, as humans, we continue to look and search for more and better and grow. So we're always going to deem, like, we're going to find something that says, oh, that's no longer good. We need to get past that. And we get past it. Then 20, 30 years comes down the line. And then we figure out that standard is no longer good. And in that moment, it might be demonized. But at the time that it was like, oh, this is the level up. Like, oh, well, like that was good then. Right. And then now it's less than, it's subpar. I think that's always going to exist to some extent. It's just going to be something different. It's just going to be something different. It's going to be child pornography or child rape, and then it's going to change to mental health. And I know two very different ideas, but just as a terrible example in the moment, like it's going to be, okay, we solved this one, but now we have this one. Okay, well, now we got through these two, now we have another one. There's always going to be something that's evil in our minds or something we can improve on ultimately.
Well, you're comparing eating a hamburger and it's bad for you to BDSM, to sex abuse. Completely different. I mean, eating a hamburger is not BDSM, you know, and it's not about control. It's about setting a standard of respect in the home. And as a child, like I said, I grew up with violence, abuse, chaos, dysfunction. It wasn't okay. It'll never be okay. And it shouldn't be okay ever. So, I mean, in families where they would never, ever harm their children in the capacity that these pornographers, BDSMers, abusive dads, abusive moms, do to their kids. Never, never. They would never. I've had podcast hosts tell me, Sabrina, I've never experienced what you experienced ever in my house. In my house, in fact, when we had disagreements, my family would sit us down and we would talk it out and come to a compromise from when we were little. And those kids who are now adults, they pass that on to their own children. That needs to be the standard. So, lucky for you and for your listeners, I would say, and I would say even just for humanity, I have higher standards. I feel that violence, abuse, chaos, dysfunction in any form needs to not be there. And we will see to it that that happens. And yes. Okay, there's going to be some there, but I'm shooting for none. So if I'm shooting for none and I got a lot of it done, well, that's great. I mean, that's pretty awesome. So then if I have to do a little bit more, then okay, then that's fine. But if I'm going to, I have my company and I design my company and I'm going to say, okay, if I only get one family, then I'm good. I mean, that's so silly. I'm shooting for global safety, respect in the home. That needs to be the standard because so many families are doing it. to live with violence, abuse, chaos, dysfunction. It's counter humanity, counter. So if I have such a high standard, well, thank goodness. Thank goodness for all of us, you, me, humankind. Because, yeah, I guess, yeah, I'm shooting for the sun, moon, and stars. But you can't live with abuse. Pain equaling pleasure. What kind of a child? How can a child grow up like that without repeating the cycle and being okay with that? And then the abuse continues. And for what? The school shooters. Do you think you're exempt, your kid? I don't know what your home situation is, and it's none of my business. It's none of my business. But if you have a kid, you do your job with your kid. You explain to them respect. You practice safety in your home. But that kid goes to school, and they're sitting next to a Nicholas Cruz. Well, somebody didn't do their homework. Somebody didn't raise that kid right. He killed a bunch of students, teachers, staff. It's not enough that you do what's right by your kid. Every parent has to do that. We're all suffering those consequences. If you have kids, and I say this to everybody, kiss them goodbye. You may never see them again. They could be dead. Morning, noon, right after school. During school, kiss them goodbye. Why? Because we didn't do our homework. Not every parent does their homework. They are building, making, killing machines of their kids. Not one shooter comes from a happy, nurturing, loving atmosphere. Every single shooter comes from violence, abuse, chaos, dysfunction. So it is in our best interest, Ben, that all of us learn how to be safe, respect one another, practice respect from the moment you're born to the moment you die. Every single person, if that's too much to ask, me and my company, so be it. But I thank myself, and kids are thanking me. We have a platform on YouTube and TikTok. It's Oh So Safe Kids. And I'm saying to kids, if you're not safe at home, don't go home. Don't go home. Stay at school. Say your cheer. I want to live where I am oh so safe, and I am oh so safe with. If you have an aunt, an uncle, a grandparent, a close family friend that is willing to take you in, you tell your teachers, the police, tell the superintendent, tell all these courts, the judges, the child protective service agencies, you take me where I'm safe. Mom and dad beat the shit out of me. I got raped by mom, dad. Mom and dad do pornography. They do BDSM. Take me where I'm safe. That's what I am introducing into for children, to have agency over their lives. Not wait until you're 18 years old. Let's do it now. Life is short. Life is short if you're safe, if you're respected at home. If you're not safe at home, life is way too long, and you're going to resort to drugs, to alcohol, gang-related activity, getting involved with the wrong people, repeating the cycle in your relationships, boyfriends, girlfriends, or you're going to commit suicide. Why? For what? You can nip it in the bud when they're teeny tiny, get them to safety, and we'll all be better off for it.
I think that, like, I... I appreciate that, right? Yeah, we're coming up on a time here that we're gonna have
yeah,
to. Head
yeah,
out.
I'm sorry. I'm looking
no, no,
at
no.
the time
No,
and
no, no.
yeah.
This, I mean, it was a really good conversation, I think. And so I was gonna say a whole other part of the story is like what happens during the like to piggyback on what you last said. It's what happens during the foster process, right? Like what are those environments look like? Like are they really that? I know people that have gone through them. My mom worked directly with an association with CPS, and so I know about a little bit about that area. And I think that it's a good I believe in what you're doing and what you stand for. I believe that respect should be considered normal. I think that there should be healthy and healthy communication overall. I think that what your mission is valuable. I think that it's also to some degree impossible to make it 100% of the way through. But I think that even if you make it a 10% of the way through, then you're making a bigger difference in people's lives. And that creates a significant ripple effect. Because now that 10% will, their kids will treat other kids differently. Those kids will understand what it means to respect other people, how to respect parents and adults, how to recognize, hey, I need help. I think that the standard is high for a reason, but the things that call out to me on the immediate is like, who owns Pornhub? Disney. Like that's wild to me. That seems insane. Like the stuff that goes on in our world and in our country.
You say that again? I thought it was MindGeek.
I'm pretty sure it was purchased by Disney a little while ago. Let's go ahead and check just to make sure. Did Disney buy?
Wow, I have to check that out. Wow.
I heard of this quite a while ago. Yeah, it acquired him in, let's see. This was published in May 21st, 2019, and they acquired the pornographic website Pornhub. So, you know, like little things like that, that, you know, again.
Are you Sabrina, sure? It's not owned by MindGeek? MindGeek a division of Disney?
Let's look.
I have to look that up.
MindGeek owned by... It's owned by Ethical Capital Owners. MindGeek is the subject of a Netflix documentary that charts the controversies, including the porn site, which has been acquired by ECP, a firm that targets industries requiring principled ethical leadership. Does MindGeek still own Pornhub?
I'll definitely look that up.
It has a new owner. Announced that it has acquired MindGeek. MindGeek, the embedded parent company of Pornhub. So MindGeek is the parent company of Pornhub, has a new owner.
Right.
So MindGeek is now owned by ECP, which is Ethical Capital Partners, a private equity firm based in Ottawa, Ontario, announced that it has acquired MindGeek. So then on this article,
is
I'm
that
reading,
Disney?
Sometimes I wonder how companies categorize their things here, but
I have to look that up. I have to look that up. But I'm sorry if I sidetracked you. You were saying, you gave that as an example of something.
Okay, here I'm reading
the
rest
10%.
Of this. I'm reading the rest of its article. It said, for the record, Disney has not purchased Pornhub. The article being shared on social media in May 2019 was originally published on the entertainment website The Beaverton on June 2018 and read as follows. Expanding their media streaming portfolio, Disney executive announced that the company has acquired Canadian adult entertainment site Pornhub. This is a part of our plan to expand our streaming capabilities. Dalton Sterling, VP of Market Strategy, in a call shared to shareholders, blah, 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 blah. This is the online world. So it seems like it was probably satire. So new satire and parody. Yeah. So it's owned by a company called MindGeek. And while the Walt Disney Company is a truly media empire that possesses properties such as ESPN, Pixar, Hulu, the 20th Century Fox, yeah. So no, I was wrong. Sorry. So I
was going to say.
Yeah. So, like, okay. So, fun fact. Yeah. So, I stand corrected. But either way, it's still, it's just worries. What you are doing, I think I support and I agree with. I wonder what the effects of it on top of just the certification are. I think that the idea is like absolutely fantastic. Obviously you've been doing this for a while, so it's been effective. I don't know exactly to what degree, but obviously you've been doing this for a while. So it's something that's good that people are gravitating towards. I fear that in such a capitalistic society, people are going to say, oh, well, I'm oh so safe, and now I can mark up my rent by X percentage. And then it becomes more and more difficult in an already difficult situation to find good rents, right? To find rent that's affordable. And I think that usually these kind of activities, yes, I understand they're non-discriminatory, but they end up tend to be in these lower socioeconomic households. Let's say we move the abuser out and now we have a child that only has a single parent. What does that do to the stress of the parents? You know, I think these are not necessarily the questions that I have, just the things that I think about, right? I mean, it's called the Ben Thinking Podcast, I guess, right? I think about stuff. So yeah, that's what I got.
Well, the single parent who's at peace, where the abuser is out, I could tell you is a much better existence, a much better life than being on eggshells and living with a terrorist. That's first off. So that's a much better existence. At least he or she is out. Now we could just concentrate on ourselves. And once you remove the fear, well, you can now think about, oh yeah, I can do this. Wow, he or she told me I couldn't do that, and now I'm capable. I can get this degree, or I can go for a better paying job. Or, I mean, the sky is the limit when you eliminate the fear, the abuse factor. As far as cost, I mean, that's why we did it at a price point of $125 right now. So, and I mean, we will see how things go, how things move. But I think we're not looking to raise prices. We're not looking to, it's a part of your residency. And this is why I think insurance companies will also, it'll make it more of an incentive, as I mentioned, where landlords would be, or property owners would say, yeah, you know, my insurance rates will go down and property values will go up. This is good for business. This is good for business. I'm being rewarded for making my tenants safe, you know, beyond the heat, hot water. This is about respect. This is about no violence, abuse, chaos, dysfunction in my units. I'm making even more money now because that logo is outside of the property. People know what that means. People are willing to even pay more rent because of this feature that is being added. So, but we feel that it's a non-issue. We're not looking to go against the tide, if you will. We're looking to make residency better, make it safer, increase business. Safer residency makes for better residency, which is better for business. Yeah. Beautiful. I do have to go, Ben.
Yep. Sabrina, where can people find you?
Sure. Our website is ososafe.com. We're on all the major social media platforms, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram. As I mentioned, OsoSafe Kids, we talk about warning signs. We talk about if you're dating, what constitutes a good relationship. If they're suffering in their house, we give them voice. We tell them that they have choice. We encourage them. That's on YouTube and TikTok. And our children's book, which is a staple in residency. I didn't get to really talk about that, but that's okay. It's sold on Amazon, and it's a way to give children voice, to give them choice. And that could be that's found on the Amazon, and it's called Home Safe Home for You and Me. And it's on Barnes and Nobles as well as other book wherever books are sold. I believe I've seen it on multiple sites.
Awesome. Well, if you don't mind, just send me a couple of links that you'd prefer to people go to so I can include it inside of the caption here. And then I would like to thank everyone for tuning in. Hopefully you guys learned something. Make sure you guys go check out Oh So Safe and go get you some books. Go get educated. And I appreciate y'all tuning in. Thank y'all. Love you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Ben Nevados podcast. Check us out on iTunes, Spotify, and all other major podcast hosting platforms. Be sure to leave us a 5-star review on iTunes.